a great privilege to be here this morning. I'm excited about what God is doing. And I could share lots of stories. In the beginning, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, once upon a time, in West Philadelphia, born and raised. Now, there's all these different stories that we encounter. And to be honest, everybody has a story. You have a story. Your story is unique. What God's done in your life is unique. The way that He's continued to use and what He continues to do is unique. And I think about how God has just worked throughout the course of my life. I was blessed with amazing parents. That's not everybody's story. I was privileged to have the opportunity. My dad introduced me and lead me to Christ at the age of 5. And I had a personal encounter with Jesus in a real way where His presence overwhelmed me and really just changed the reality of things for me at the age of 11. Where it didn't feel like I was just at church anymore. Where the guy on stage, he actually was saying something that felt like I could connect with it. It wasn't just some rambling. He wasn't just talking over my head and using big words that didn't make sense to me. There have been times though in my life where I've just found myself going, really, God? In my 20s, I found myself reading Scripture and it felt like a textbook. Anybody ever felt that way? Like, this is a textbook and I don't feel like I understand this. Some of you are like, I understand Scripture because it is my favorite thing in all the world. And I get that and I love that and I admire that. But for me, it felt like it was just another aspect of school. Felt like it was just another thing that as I flipped through that Scripture just, it was words on a page. Now, don't get me wrong, what God was doing, and I knew lots of verses and I had lots of stuff that was committed to memory, but a lot of it just felt like it was words. And then I started to realize something. Started to realize that they were people. That they were legitimate stories. It was their unique stories that were being told. I love movies. I love watching movies. There's something about it that's engaging. It's captivating. You see the story played out right in front of you. It has these moments of drama and excitement and tension and everything that's taking place. And then I began to read through Scripture and I started to see things a little differently. So this morning I pray that you'll just oblige me a little bit, because my hope and my prayer is that you will see Scripture a little bit differently this morning. Because for me, when I started to realize that there was something else that was going on, within Scripture I started to see that there are people that had real encounters with Jesus. And then all these things started to change. And this began to make more sense. So today I'm going to do something a little bit different as we look at Luke chapter 5, verses 14 through 27. You're going to see things possibly a little bit differently. So if you will, let's pray. God, I thank You for what You're doing. I thank You for who You are. Lord, I pray that you come now, that You stir our hearts. You help us to be engaged, Lord, that You help us to receive what Your Spirit wants to speak to us today, Lord. More of You, less of me. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, hello, please get in. I will help you get... Yes, I am working. Please get in. Get in, cab. I will help you get where you want to go. Yes, okay. Very good. Where are you headed? Oh, 8th and Villa. Okay, that is downtown? Yes, okay. You can forget all your troubles, you can forget all your cares and go downtown. La da 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 da. No, I will not sing anymore. I promise you are in good hands. We will go downtown. Okay, here we go. So you from around here? Oh, very good. Yes, I live about 3 blocks from here. I grew up outside of the city. It's a nice place. Nice weather we're having, right? Right. It's rather cold. I think that Jack Frost, he sneezed all over city today. It's not fun place to be. Oh, man, why are we stopping? What are you waiting for? Christmas? I know I am number one cab driver, but you do not need to use that finger to tell me. Ugh, people, right? don't know why we are stopped here.
What?
This? Oh, my mother, she made this for me when I was little to remind me what has happened in my life. It is long story. You did not get in this cab to hear my story. You got in this cab to go to Aiton Villa. We do not have time, but we are not going anywhere. So, when I was little, I was like monkey. I like to climb. I would climb everything. I climb tree. I climb fence. I climb wall. I would climb. I just like to climb. When I was little, though, I did not always know what was best. I would climb basketball goal pole and jump from pole to house. It was about 4 feet, not that far. Then I would jump from house to ground, and I would do this many times all day long. But one day, when I was about 6, I climbed pole, jumped to house, jumped to ground. When I land, I feel pain in my back, down to my feet. And I fall to ground, and I cannot move. I was very scared. I just start to cry. And I just lay there in middle of yard crying. And my brothers, they hear me. I have 3 older brothers, Nick, Victor, and Joseph. They come out and they see what is going on. They usually are not very nice to me, but they will not let anyone else be mean to me. I don't understand that, but they pick me up and take me back into house. And lay me on the couch and leave me there till my parents get home from work. When my parents get home, I'm still crying. They take me to hospital. And doctor, he tells them that I am broke. And that I will never walk again. This was not a good day. I did not know what to think. I did not know what to do. Everything I like to do, I just saw I no longer get to do. I like to ride bike. I like to play ball. I'm not able to do these things anymore. Then I have to go back to school. I did not like school at that point because I could not do anything at recess and gym. I had to just watch everyone. And it was not fun. Rather embarrassing. I had to have help to go everywhere, even to bathroom. Had teacher who sat down and said, "You know, this happened to you because God thinks you're strong." Strong? I do not want to be strong. I want to be well. Do not tell me this. We try many things over years. None of them work. I end up getting very sad and very angry, bad attitude all the time. And one day when I'm about 20 years old, my mother, she come home from work at flower shop and she said to me, "I hear about this man who is like doctor, but only better. And he is in city. Let's go see him." And I said, "Oh, no, thank you." When my father get home, she tell him, my father, he work on roof all day long, and she tell him about this man. So he said, "Let's go." So we go. They load me up on stretcher and we start to walk about 3 blocks from house, not too far from where we live. And Nick and Victor are in the back carrying the back of stretcher, and Joseph and my father, they have the front, and Nick and Victor let go of the back while we are walking. And now my father and my brother are dragging me down the street. My mother, she said to me, "Nate, stop being such a drag." They start to laugh and say how I should be called Stretch because I'm always on stretcher. I did not think this funny. They laugh very hard and for very long until we get to house where doctor is. And then they stop laughing. It is packed like New Year's Eve downtown. So many people crowded around house. And we try to get in, but we cannot. And I start to think, maybe this guy, maybe he is different than the others. But it will be a long wait. It is hopeless. I am hopeless. Then my father, he say he have idea. This never a good thing.
He said, let's go onto roof and let's lower you into house. Are you crazy? So they find rope and ladder and they push me onto house. They almost dropped me on my head twice. And they start to rip the roof open and it does not smell very good. And they start to lower me down and I'm very nervous. I'm very, very nervous because my brothers, they are not always the nicest. But as they're lowering me into room, I start to think, why would they do this to me if they did not believe? And I start to have hope, a little bit. And as they lower me into room, I can feel everyone looking at me. But all I see is their face as I am lowered into room. I see hope in their eyes. And they lower me right in front of man that everyone is there to see. He look at me, big smile on his face, and he say, thanks for dropping in. He start to laugh. Then he look at me, he say, friend, your sins are forgiven. He say this, the room start to rumble. People in the room, they start to make all kinds of comments. I hear men say, who do he think he is that he can forgive sins? Only God can do that. And then he smile at me and he stand up. He say, let me make it clear. What is easier for me to forgive sin or to make him get up and walk? I will make this very clear to you that I am Son of Man and I can do either one or both. And he look at me and smile like he about to pull rabbit out of head. He smile at me and he say, get up. Take your stuff and go home. When he said, my legs, they do it. I did not have to think about it. I did not have to choose. I just get up. They do it. And I get my stuff and I walk out of room. I had not walked in 14 years, but that day I walked home. That was a long time ago. That was 20 years ago. People rub their eyes. I still see the look on their face. They rub their eyes and they are completely and totally astounded as I walk out of the room. That's why I drive this cab now. I want to help people get where they want to go. Oh, they're moving again. Very good. See, my mother, she made this for me that day from rope and stretcher to remind me what has happened and to let them know that God has purpose and plan for everything under sun. So I wear this. I wear this to show people that He is doing something and you do not always know. So we are headed to Aiton Villa. But when we get there, the question I have for you is that really where you need to be? See, there's times when we look at Scripture that it doesn't always just make sense. Here's a guy in the Bible, in Luke chapter 5, that we don't even know his name. There's nothing that's told about him. And I appreciate you obliging me the opportunity just to share the side of some things that we may not know about him, some backstory. We don't know who he was. What we do know is the context of what's happened right in front of him, where he's lowered down through the roof right in front of Jesus, and Jesus forgives his sins, changes his life, has him get up and walk out. But he doesn't just change his physical situation. He didn't just see him as a cripple. He saw him as broken. And he healed his heart. And so many times I think that we find ourselves just really not taking the time to just enjoy Scripture. I'm not blasting anybody because I've been there. But in all honesty, what we see is there are two things from this story that Jesus made so vivid. He does two things with the guy that's lowered right in front of him. The first thing that he does is he forgives his sins. He aligns him with him. The man is aligned with Jesus. You're forgiven. You're following now. You are forgiven. You notice there was no specific detailed prayer. There was no act of oil. There was no act of repentance. There was no baptism. It was simply that Jesus said, "You are forgiven." In that moment, the man realized there was so much more than just my circumstance. Then what did Jesus do? He broke him out of his comfort zone. He challenged him. What's been your comfort for so long? This stretcher, this mat, everything that you've known. Get up, take it, and go. Your past, pick it up, take it, go. Your insecurities, pick it up, take it, go. Your fear, pick it up, take it, go. Your failure, pick it up, take it, go. What once carried you, now you have the power, and you carry it with you, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in you. Get it up and go. Pick it up, take it and go. How many times do we find that our past has become a place of residence? That we live there? Well, because this happened to me, I can't do this. It discounts me because this happened in my life, or because this took place, or because the sin that I continue to do over and over, because this took place, it discounts me from being able to do something else. But God's already said, pick it up, take it, and go. And where you're at now, your past, it's a place of reference, not a place of residence. Don't let it define you. It doesn't define you. Yes, it may have shaped you, but only in God's hands can it continue to be molded into what we're meant to be. Your story is not complete. Your story is not over because you got up this morning. You may have breathed some nasty, bad breath, but you got up. You got up and you did something. God is longing for you to do even more. Not because it's your ability, not because it's your power, not because it's your strength, but because He said, get up and go. It's like Ephesians. Ephesians says it this way. Love this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For the light that makes everything visible, this is why it is said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Rise up. Get up. What you've been given is not just so that you have warmth, not just so that you have awareness, not just so that you have information. It's so that you can go and share that with other people. It's so that you can be an example. See, we aren't changed just for the sake of us being changed, but so that we can be a billboard everywhere that we go. "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." I think about the moon. The moon is a rock that orbits us. It has no power, no strength, no source of its own. But every night it lights an entire world that is dark. What? No, it doesn't. It simply reflects the sun into a dark world. And how much of the moon is seen and reflected has everything to do with how much of the world gets in the way of the sun. In your life, how much of the world is getting in the way, and how much of the sun are you reflecting every single day? See, God wants to use your life. He wants to use your story. He wants to use you. There's somebody that you encounter every day. Maybe it's the person behind the counter that serves you food. Maybe it's the person that so kindly gets out to pump your gas. It's people that we encounter, that we work with, that we complain about. See, God has put them in your path for a very specific reason. Because He wants you to rise up because of what He's done in you, so that you can show them who He is. It's great that we know Scripture. It's wonderful that we can quote those things, and I believe it 100% that there is power in the Word of God, that there is strength in God's Word, that there is a beauty in God's Word, there is wholeness and there is healing. But people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Your words will fall hollow right in front of them until they realize that you care about them and want to see God do something in their life. Oftentimes it's simply us just showing up where God has positioned us and letting Him show off. He's already done the hard work. Yeah, you may not have the exact words. That's okay. He does. He speaks in a way that we don't always have the ability to communicate. He speaks through the language of the heart. And what God longs to do is change the heart and then compel us to act. Changing the heart, we leave the old behind and we move towards something new. The process of change is two parts. It's one action with two parts. We leave the old and we move towards the new. What is it God's calling you to? What is it that He's drawing you towards? What is it you need to walk away from? What area is God calling you to get up? Son, get up, please. Listen, get up. Daughter, get up. Don't stay here. This isn't where you were meant to stay. Don't stay here. Don't think this anymore. Don't live in this thought. Don't be this person. This isn't who you were made to be. Get up. Get up. Get up, son. Get up. Rise up. Let me shine on you. Then your past, then your circumstance, then everything else begins to find its joy. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. Happiness is based on your happenings, but joy is based on Jesus. When we encounter Him, no matter our circumstance, no matter our situation, no matter where we've been, no matter where we're going, no matter what has taken place, He is that strength. His grace is sufficient and His power is made perfect in your weakness. There is your card that simply says, I don't have to be good enough because I'm not. He is. And because of what He did in me, we can do more. See, God's not done with you yet. He hasn't given up on you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He will never leave you. He will never forget about you. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for who You are. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to share Your heart. But God, more than that, I thank You for what You've already done in us. God, I thank You for this moment, for what You're wanting to continue to do, for the way that You're working, God, for the way that You're stirring hearts. Lord, we look to You. We trust You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you need healing or anointing this morning, and I would encourage you to rise up as we stand to sing this morning, as the worship team prepares to play. Rise up out of your seat if you need healing or anointing this morning. Get out of your comfort zone and rise up. Leave that past behind. Leave it behind. Please stand to your feet this morning. And step out as we sing this morning. God has placed someone on your heart and on your mind this morning, I would encourage you to stand up. Just as in the message you've heard this morning from Jason. Sometimes in your workplace and in your life, God may have placed someone on your heart to let down in your spirit and in your mind that He has placed for healing, to lift up in prayer. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it may be someone that's like, God, I don't know. I don't know about this person. I don't get along too well with them at work. But God has placed them on your mind and on your heart. Said, no, this one's for you. And it's like, I'm not ready for that yet, God. No, this one's for you. And it may be the simple act of laying yourself behind, putting yourself back. And if that person's on your forefront and on your heart today, you may say to yourself, God, I can't do this without you. And just as in the message, as he's being lowered down to the window and he's looking up, all he can see is his brother's look on their face of hope. And that person may be looking at you, whether it be at school or at work, and they may be looking at you as the only source of hope. You may be the only Jesus they see at this point in time. Whether it be that person ask you for prayer, or whether it be you've heard someone in the office mention prayer, that may be your call that God's calling you to do. And this morning, if you need an anointing to do that, saying, God, I can't do this, I would ask you to come forward and say, I need some anointing to do this. I need some help. Come forward this morning and we'll anoint you for that special help. We'll pray over you for that anointing. Say, anoint me to do this special task. To do this purpose as a disciple. If God has placed someone on your heart to do that, we're all His children. We all have a purpose. So this morning, be purposeful and be mindful of what His calling is in your heart for healing, and to leave that past behind and don't let it define you. Not let it define you. Use it as a point of reference and not as a point of residency. As a point to move on for better and greater things in His life. For you.
Stay in an attitude of prayer. I just simply want to have you do something. Instead of simply being an observer, I'd ask that you just close your eyes in this moment. That you just begin to look inside your heart and see where you're at in your relationship with God. Is your relationship limping? Is it non-existent? Are you dependent upon somebody else to bring you to the place where you experience Him on a regular basis? Because what God longs for is a personal relationship with you. And for some of you today, the prayer that needs to be prayed is not because of one of the people up here, but because of the prayer that you need to just surrender your life to God right now, right where you're at. So for some of you, you can just simply say, God, I give you my heart. Forgive me my sins. Make me new. Change me from the inside out. I believe that you died. I believe that you rose so that I could have new life. Meet me right where I am, God. You can pray that prayer right where you're at. It's not dependent upon somebody else. It's simply your surrender to God in that moment, letting Him lead. That's where life change begins. So I just wanted to extend that opportunity.
Thank you this morning for your patience, your prayers. I just ask that in this Lenten season, as you would focus on Christ, keep your focus on Christ, and draw strength as the Easter season approaches throughout the month of March. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and kindness and mercy for sending us your Son. And we ask that we would learn to leave our past behind, not let it define us. Help us to rise up and walk in the newness and grace that you've given us, and our focus on our Redeemer. Let us receive the healing that you have so bountifully given us. Let us not become entangled in those small vines. Those small vines that so easily entangle us that can become chains to us. They don't look like chains, but they can become chains, because they're so sneaky that the evil one tries to trip us up and snare us. Let us pull free from them and let us walk gracefully. Let us become free-flowing, not become enchained to the forests that those small vines want to restrict and hold us to. Let us walk out of those forests that have tried to define us all of our life, and let us walk freely into new areas, into new lands, to conquer new territories as your children who are meant to be. Father, we thank you. And we praise your holy name. Guide us and direct us this week. And let us shine gracefully to you from your light, people that need it to receive your love. And all the church said, God bless you all.